This is episode 5 of the Daily Buddhism for March 30th, 2008. For more information, please visit www.dailybuddhism.com. As I said last time, I've returned to the States, and this past week, the email portion of the Daily Buddhism has started up again. This podcast will mostly be a recap of what was said previously this week for the benefit of our podcast subscribers. If you have any specific questions about anything at all, please email me at dailybuddhism@gmail.com. If you send an MP3 recording, I'll play it on the show. Otherwise, just ask your questions by email. Today we'll be talking about the core of what Buddhists believe, more commonly known as the Four Noble Truths, the First Noble Truth. Well, we may as well start from the beginning. The very foundation of Buddhism is the Four Noble Truths. I can't think of a better place to start than these ideas. We'll cover all four of them in this episode. Many stories and concepts have been credited to the Buddha over the millennia since his death. Some probably came from him, while others were probably apocryphal. No one doubts the Buddha himself came up with the Four Noble Truths. This is really the heart of the whole thing. The first noble truth is the idea that all of life is suffering. Well, that just seems obviously wrong on first consideration. I was happy today. I was happy yesterday. Sure, there's occasional suffering for most people, and for some people there may actually even be constant suffering. But to say all of life is suffering sounds not only depressing, but just plain wrong. Many people hearing this basic rule of Buddhism immediately come to the conclusion that Buddhists are negative people. Buddhism is a negative thing, a depressing thing, a real downer. This isn't really the case. On further reflection, there's a lot to be said for this idea. Bear with me for a minute. There are various types of suffering with which we all have to deal. First, there's physical suffering. This is what most of us think of when we first hear about suffering. Physical pain, mental distress, and strong emotional disturbances. Things that make you suffer. That's pretty obvious. But Buddha expanded on the idea of suffering by taking into consideration that all happiness is temporary. Everything is, in fact, temporary. This idea is what Buddhists call impermanence. No matter what you have, who you love, or what you do, eventually you'll lose it. You'll grow old and suffer. Your friends and family will die. The great works you have done in your life will fade from memory. You will eventually die. You could build a stone monument that lasts 3,000 years, but it too will eventually turn to dust. Yeah, it's depressing, but you have to admit that it's true. Buddha, coming from a background as a Hindu, took that second idea of suffering and expanded it infinitely. If all of life is suffering, then what does reincarnation add to that mix? The answer is eternal suffering. Once you die and get a little relief in this life, the cycle starts over again and you suffer more. Also keep in mind when I say suffering, I am poorly translating the word dukkha, which does mean suffering, but also means imperfect, unsatisfying, as well as grasping. Here's one translation of the Buddha's own explanation. Now this is the noble truth of suffering. Birth is suffering. Aging is suffering. Illness is suffering. Death is suffering. Union with what is displeasing is suffering. Separation from what is pleasing is suffering. Not to get what one wants is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates subject to clinging are suffering. This idea of suffering is hard to accept because we've been raised to think of life and the world as basically a good thing. And this is true to a certain extent. We can be happy for a while. But don't you always know in the back of your mind that sooner or later happiness will end? This really is some depressing and sad stuff. Fortunately, Buddha found the reason for this suffering and figured out a way to defeat it. The second noble truth. Okay, we just discussed how all of life is suffering, and I think we decided that this was a pretty depressing outlook on life. But remember, I asked you to bear with me. The Buddha wanted to cure this condition, and he did. But just like any doctor, before he could cure the suffering, he had to diagnose the cause of the suffering. The second noble truth is the idea that there is a single cause to suffering, attachment. As I said, all things are impermanent. No matter how much you love your car, or your dog, or your family, Someday you'll lose them. Or you'll die yourself, and thereby losing everything you've accumulated in life. Nothing is permanent. Nothing. I don't like it, and you probably don't like it either, but that's tough. Attachment to things and the resultant loss of those things causes suffering. If you've ever lost a loved one, you know exactly what I mean. But you don't actually have to lose someone to suffer, because you know deep down that someday you're going to lose them. That thought is always in the back of your mind. Death is part of living, and we have accepted the idea. This is a very logical idea, and if you think it through, I think you'll agree. All of suffering comes from attachment. Or put in another way, desire. I desire a new Ferrari, but I can't afford it. I suffer because I can't have what I want. I'm hungry. All I have to do is go to the kitchen and make a sandwich. But right now, I desire food, and that little bit of hunger is a mild form of suffering. Poor people around the world are hungry too, but they don't have the sandwiches handy. They suffer too, albeit more seriously than I do. I want to date a supermodel, but they wouldn't give me the time of day. Maybe my sights aren't so high, and I have a crush on the girl next door, but she hates me. There's more suffering. Greed, lust, anger, ignorance, and even emotions that we think of as positive, such as love, are all forms of attachment or clinging. There's no way around it. Even Buddha himself got hungry and had physical needs. So what about physical pain? That's attachment as well. You're attached to your own body, believing that this life is somehow real. Your body is not you. It's just another temporary vessel. We'll discuss this further another time, but your attachment to yourself is just as bad as aching with lust for a supermodel. Think about it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. You'll find that everything about essential Buddhism is completely logical when you dwell on it and analyze it a bit. Think about various forms of suffering. It's still depressing. But next we'll discuss the cure for what ails us. The third noble truth. Okay, now we know that all the world is suffering, and the cause of all desire attachment. These are important ideas to really understand and think through. You'll have some extra time today to reflect on the first and second noble truths, because the third noble truth is really simple. The third noble truth is the idea that suffering can be beaten. We know from the first two truths that everyone, everywhere, is suffering in one way or another, and that all this suffering is related to attachment and desire. Dr. Buddha first identified the problem, suffering, and then he found the cause of suffering, desire. So the next step was to prescribe a cure. Yes, there's a way to beat this depressing cycle of misery that we've been talking about. Most people haven't attained this, and most won't in this lifetime. Let's see if we can work it out on our own. As I said, it's pretty easy. Since suffering is a problem we're trying to beat, and suffering is caused by attachment and desire, then it seems that the logical way to beat suffering is to control desire and limit attachments. Attachments and desire come from within. They're caused by our own minds. If we have control over our own minds, we should be able to just shut off the suffering. In fact, Buddhists go so far as to claim that reality is what you make of it. Simple, huh? Well, no, of course not. But this idea that everything is in your mind, and you need to learn to control your mind, is the heart of Buddhism. But there is a way to do it, and Buddha went on to explain that path in the fourth noble truth, which we'll cover next. The fourth noble truth. Just to summarize, we now know that all of life is suffering. The suffering is caused by attachments and desire. Yet there is a way to end this suffering. To continue our medical analogy, Dr. Buddha saw the problem, identified the cause, and then prescribed a cure. Today we're going to talk about the cure. The fourth noble truth is the path, or way, that ends suffering. This prescription to end suffering is usually called the Eightfold Path because it has eight steps or components. These eight components are right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right understanding, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. The path is also sometimes called the middle way because it goes directly between all opposite concepts. It's the middle way between asceticism and self-indulgence. By focusing on perfecting these eight components, you can attain enlightenment and be released from all suffering. This is what is commonly called attaining nirvana or enlightenment. Buddha said, I teach about suffering and the way to end it. You can probably guess what we'll be discussing for the next 8 days, right? Some of the steps on the Eightfold Path are intuitively simple, yet hard to put into practice. Others are conceptually complex and take a lifetime of practice to master, if ever. But now your homework for next time. Memorize the Four Noble Truths. They're the heart of Buddhism. We'll be discussing them repeatedly. If you have time, go ahead and memorize the Eightfold Path as well, as that's just as crucial. There really isn't so much to memorize in Buddhism, but these two lists are way up there in importance. Just to recap, the Four Noble Truths. 1, all of life is suffering. 2, there is a cause to this suffering, desire and attachment. 3, there is a path to end this suffering. 4, the Eightfold Path is the way to end suffering. And that's it for episode 5. Next week, we'll talk about the Eightfold Path, continuing our series on basic Buddhism. Unless you send in questions, that is. If you have questions, we can cover those first. Just email your questions to dailybuddhism@gmail.com or go to www.dailybuddhism.com and ask them in a comment under the show notes for this episode. If you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, you can do so by going to dailybuddhism.com and clicking on the Daily Buddhism logo to subscribe using iTunes. Or you can listen to the shows right on that page. And although the podcast and show notes blog are fun, the real core of the Daily Buddhism lies in the daily mailing list. You'll get some aspect of Buddhism in your daily email, so be sure to sign up for that in the box on the website. We have a special offer going right now. Subscribe to the mailing list, and you'll get a free copy of the book, The Essence of Buddhism, compiled by E.M. Bowden. It's a great book, filled with wonderful quotes and beautiful ideas. If you've already signed up and did not receive the information for this ebook, please drop me a note by email. Until then, see you next time.